All right, Shabbos, good morning. So today's daf is Pei. Is page 80. We are picking up on Ayin Tes on the base 79b. We read into the Mishnah, but let's go ahead and pick up at the beginning of the Mishnah again on Ayin Tes on the base 79b, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines up on the bottom. Ema gadla behema daka b'Eretz Yisrael. So remember, again, we learned yesterday, the Mishnah says, you may not raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi HaKadosh pointed out that the reason for that is because small animals graze all over the place. We want to encourage Jewish habitation of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we prevent anything that could diminish or that could serve as a purpose that people would not want to live in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, you may not go ahead and raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael. I'm a godly Missouria, but you may raise small animals in Syria, which again, as we pointed out, was an area conquered by David HaMelech that, again, at least according to this Mishnah, does not seem to have Kiddush as Eretz Yisrael. Uba midbaros shel Eretz Yisrael. And similarly, you can go ahead and raise small animals in the deserts of Eretz Yisrael. Eim agadlin tarnagolim b'Yerushalayim me'akodshim. You can't raise chickens in Yerushalayim because of sacrificial items. What's the concern here? The concern here is that chickens peck at garbage heaps. And therefore the concern is what? That a chicken's going to find the sherets, right? Going to find a creepy crawly thing. Rashi says over here So Rashi says over here that he'll find the sherets. Yaviu etzem ke'adosha min hasherets v'yitamus hakodshim. So bring a sherets. I'm saying we'll get into this. Sherets, remember, creepy crawly things have the ability to convey tumah even in much smaller measures. So the concern here is that the chicken's going to poke away at the garbage heap and is going to go ahead and end up being metame, end up defiling some of the kodesh, some of the ritually pure items. In the local Kohanim Eretz Yisrael, Ne'atar, similarly, Kohanim may never raise chickens. Point halacha, Kohanim may not raise chickens for the same reason, because Kohanim always have sanctified items in their proximity. Chickens have a habit of going into garbage dumps, picking up impure things, therefore Kohanim may not raise chickens. In the Gadlin Chazirin B'chol Mokum, you are not permitted to raise pigs. B'chol Mokum, we'll see in the Gemara, but Pipashtos, it means in Eretz Yisrael, Lo Yigadol Adam Es HaKelef, person should not raise a dog. It should not have a dog in his home. Ela imkin hayakasher b'shalsheles. Unless, of course, it was on a chain. Interestingly enough, Rashi points out over here, es hakelev, Rashi says, mipnei sheno sheikh u'minabea, because dogs bite and dogs bark. Umapeles ishamiras. It's actually quite interesting. Chazal were concerned that a woman may miscarry because of the fear of the bark of the dog. So the idea over here is, there's the bark of the dog, there's the bite of the dog. Don't have a dog unless, of course, you have it on a leash. Ain person. There are some people that need to hear this. We're not here yet. So maybe you'll text it to them. So the ain person nishuvim leonim. You shall not go ahead and set out traps for doves. Unless, of course, the traps are set up 30 ris, which Rashi points out are 4 mil from the city. Both say the concern over here is that what's going to happen if you set up dove traps outside of the city. People have personally owned doves. If the traps are too close to the city, you may end up trapping doves that are owned by someone else. Therefore, the Mishnah says, if you want to go out and set out dove traps, you have to distance them at least 4 mil from the city itself. Fine. Says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. In Megadlim Behemadak Beretzav, Megadlim Becharshin Sheveret Yisrael. So the Braisa says, you may not go ahead and raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael, but if there are nearby forests, you can go ahead and raise small animals in forests, which also makes sense, because in forests they could forage or graze wherever they want, and they're not impacting anyone's fields. B'Surya, afilu b'yishuv. So we'll say in Surya, you could raise, which again is the area conquered by David HaMelech, you could raise small animals even in inhabited areas. So we'll say goes all the more, so without saying in Chutz La'aretz as well, you can raise small animals. Such a we'll say, because we don't care about Jews living in Chutz La'aretz, we'd rather live in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, again, there's no need to preserve habitation in Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, you can raise the small animals in Surya, in Chutz La'aretz. Tanya Idach, another Braisa, in Megadlin Behemadak of Eretz Yisrael. You may not go ahead and raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael. Avam Megadlin Bemidbar Sheva Yehuda. The Bosa, you can raise them in the Judean desert. Because again, logically, they're not impinging on anyone's fields in the desert. Ubemidbar Sheva Safar Akov. Similar Bosa, by the desert, that is on the border with Akko. Va'afa pisha amru in megadlin behema dako. Supposed to say, even though Chazal said, you can't raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael. Supposed to say, again, remember, why is that? Because remember, Rashi explained that we're concerned, we don't want to in any way compromise any other Jew's habitation in Eretz Yisrael. And if there are a whole bunch of little animals running around grazing on other people's fields, chas v'shalom, Jews may be tempted to move out of Eretz. Which we'll say, by the way, is an incredible yisod in general. How Chazal understood that in order to keep people in a particular place, the place has to be friendly to the individuals. If the place becomes too inconvenient, people will move away, even in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore the Gemara says, so now the Braisa says, even though we said that you can't raise small animals, now the truth is, using this logic, that we're concerned about raising livestock in Eretz Yisrael, because the animals, my animals may graze on someone else's property, the truth is that concern applies not just with small animals, but that concern applies with large animals as well. So what's the pshat? Why is it only behema daka? Why not behema gasa as well? To which the Gemara says, she'in gozring zera tibur ela imkein rova tibur yechol lamadba. Because we both say, in general, Chazal can't make a gzera unless, again, the majority of the population has the ability to abide by it. We'll say it's a very important yisod. Chazal never legislate unless, of course, their gzera has the ability to be upheld by the majority of the population. Just by the way, just so you know, this is why, for example, you won't find many across the board, prohibitions on smoking, which is interesting, even though smoking is objectively harmful and objectively bad. It seems to be an objective violation of halacha. So again, besides that there's not a centralized rabbinic body, but it's difficult to go to make a gzera on the tzibur that you know large segments of the tzibur ultimately will be in violation of. It's just an interesting aside. You see this all, so therefore again, we need large animals in Eretz Yisrael. Why need large animals in Eretz Yisrael? We'll say, because large animals are used to work fields. Imagine if there was a prohibition on having large animals in Eretz Yisrael, you would not be able to run an agricultural society. Therefore, Chazal can't legislate that. So the Gemara says, therefore, behema daka shel avim chutz laretz. So we'll say, so therefore, if somebody needs smaller animals, like we'll discuss, you could always bring them from chutz laretz. Behema gasi shel avim chutz laretz. But we'll say a larger animal that you can't bring from chutz laretz. You can bring it from chutz laretz, but it's an incredible inconvenience to have to transport larger livestock from chutz laretz. And even though we say you can't raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael, remember again, there's a fundamental shaila on this Gemara, which is how do you offer karbanos? Many of the karbanos are from what we'll call the behema daka family. Most notably, karban pesach, right? Karban pesach is a sheep. Sheep is in the behema daka family. So how do you offer up karbanim? What do you do about sacrificial obligations or let's say I just like lamb and I just want to eat lamb. Right, so guys got to eat lamb, right, Uncle Mike? Right, so what do I do? What do I do in that circumstance? So the Mishnah says, "Avamashu kodem l'regel shloshim yom, they call them mishta beno lamed yom." So Moshe, you are permitted to have in your possession behemos dakos, 30 days before Yom Tiv. And 30 days, he says, before Mishta Beno, let's say I'm making a wedding, or I'm making a simcha. So essentially, you have a 30-day window in which you can have a behema daka in your property prior to an event that requires behemos and dakos. As long as you don't keep the last one in your possession for more than 30 days. Then we'll say, now what does that mean? Let's say I bought a sheep 15 days before Pesach. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I bought a sheep. And Yom Tov goes by, I bought two sheep, I have an extra sheep. So what happens? I figure to myself, well look, I could still keep the second sheep. Why? Because the 30 days have not yet elapsed, only 15 days went by. Says the Gemara, no. Lo neima tlas en mishra shari le el shehuye el keba nerafek le rega lo mi boy le el shehuye. No. Chazal didn't give you a blanket 30 days. What Chazal gave you was up to 30 days prior to the necessary event. But once the event passes, you need to get rid of the behemos dako. So for example, if I bought the sheep 15 days before Pesach, and whatever, I ended up using another sheep for argument's sake. So now I say, okay, hold on to it for another 2 weeks. No, you can't. Once the event for which you purchased it passes, you need to get rid of that behemos dako from your property. When we say get rid of it, we'll say you could shecht and eat it right then. You could sell it, but you can't maintain it. of pay. I va'tavach lokeach v'shoche, lokeach v'shohe, o bevach lo yishaguna b'hen lamed yom. But I will say, similarly, a butcher, right? A butcher. Now Rashi actually defines a tabach over here as hamakabet as habehemos liyom ashok. And also what the butcher would often do is, the butcher would only slaughter next to the market day. Because remember, again, without refrigeration, the butcher has to slaughter and sell. So the butcher who buys it, let's say, see, he's permitted to buy it within 30 days of a market day, but the same concept like we said before. Once the market day comes and goes, he is not permitted to retain the animals anymore. Shalu tamidav es Rabbi Gamliel. So the students at Rabbi Gamliel, we will say, Pei Amud Aleph, three lines down. Ma'al gadol. What is the halacha concerning raising behema dak on your property? Amrlo and mutter, to which Rabbi Gamliel responded, it's mutter. Mutter, v'hatnat in the gadlin, but yet we learned in the Mishnah, that's what, that you're not permitted to go ahead and, you're not permitted to go ahead and raise a behema dak on your property. So, elhachi kaboy of mine, this is what they were asking. Ma'u lishos, what is the halacha concerning ultimately maintaining it? So, amrlo and mutter obilvach lo teitse vitira be'eder el kosher kosher bekari hamita. To which Rabbi Gamliel, interestingly enough, said that if you want to have a behema daka in your house, then ultimately, again, you can do so, but you must literally tie it to your bedpost. Now, I will say, now, it doesn't literally mean only tie it to your bedpost. What it just means is you must exhibit incredible level of shmira, of guarding over this animal. So whether it's tying it to your bedpost or tying it in your stable, that animal cannot go out and graze. Now, Bosnian Rashi points out over here that Rabbi Gamliel argues on the Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon, whose position is espoused in the Mishnah, hold that under no circumstances can you go ahead and raise a behemoth daka. Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that no, if you go ahead and what? If you go ahead and tie it to your bedpost, then lemaisa, again, you are permitted to go ahead and maintain it. Tan Rabbanan. Well said, an interesting ma'isa. Tan Rabbanan. Ma'ase b'chassid echad shaya goneach milibo. There was once a particularly pious man who literally said goneach milibo means he was groaning from his heart. So groaning from his heart means he had some type of illness. B'shalu l'rofim, and he asked the doctors what to do for this. V'amru lo ein lo takana at shiyanak chalav roseach m'shachris l'shachris. So we'll say, listen to this. So what happens? The doctor told him, the only remedy for you is to drink hot goat's milk. Literally, you have to drink it from the goat. Drink it from the goat every morning, and that's going to take care of your heart problems. So they brought him a goat. The kashal of a kari meat. He tied it to the bedpost. And I will say, what happens? He drank from it every morning. One morning, his friends, or one day, his friends went in to visit him. He was a chola. When they saw that he had a goat tied to his bedpost, we'll say they retreated backwards. And they said, this guy has armed robbers in his house, and we're going to go visit him. So the armed robbers, of course, is a reference to what? Is a reference to the goat, right? Because since the goat is a behema daka, the goat grazes everywhere. So the mice again, therefore, the goat steals from the property of others. So the friends, his fellow rabbinic cousins, we'll see this guy's tam tchacham, not a chosid. So his friends were very surprised that he was maintaining a behema daka in his property, to which the Gemara says, so yashvu ubat guvula matzubo ela osa avansha osa'is. So what's amazingly enough, his friends decided to conduct an investigation into his deeds, and they found that this guy, this chassid, came up clean, except for this one small infraction. That was a hell of a wish to be socha. One small infraction, the one small infraction he had is that he owned a behema daka in Eretz Yisrael. Vafu b'shas misaso amar. So to this particular chassid at the time of his death said, Yodea ani she'ein bi avon ela avon osai sha'avat el divrei chaverai. And this particular sage said at the time of his death, I know that Baruch Hashem, I have been free from sin. The only one sin I have is that I maintained this behema daka in my possession. Quite amazing. Says the Gemara, Amar Yishmael, Mibali batim shevagala ha'alyon hayu beis abba. Yishmael said, my family were some of the balabatim of the upper Galil. Now, I will say, it's not, Rabbi Shmuel is being very humble. His family were not just simple balabatim, he came from a very illustrious family. But okay, my family were balabatim in the upper Galil. And what happens? We'll say, why is it that our, How you base on? We made machar, and Rabbi say, why was our community destroyed? So shayu marin bacharshin v'danin dinei mamonas biyachid. Because in our community, the people used to allow their small animals to graze in the forests, and furthermore, they would adjudicate monetary law with one judge. And I will say, but one second, we said before earlier in the Brisa on Amud Beis that even in Eretz Yisrael you are permitted to graze small animals in the forest. So if that's the case, what's wrong with what they did? And even though the forest was close to their homes, nevertheless, we'll say ultimately again what happened. There was a small field. So what happens is he had Balabas A, who owned the Behema Daka, and he was taking, and many other Balabat, and they were taking their animals to graze in the forest. Right next to the forest was a privately owned field. And what would often happen is, on the way to the forest, the behemos dakos, the small animals, would graze by the privately owned field, thereby engaging in an act of gezel. Rabbi Yishmael said that, I feel that this particular infraction ultimately led to the destruction of the community. And the idea of being dan dinei mamonos biyachid, Rabbi say, is again really dinei mamonos is supposed to take place in front of a normative beis din. Tan Rabbanon, Rosh Asa Tshuva, Rabbi say, is actually a beautiful idea. So let's say you have a shepherd who wants to do tshuva. Now what's the chait of the shepherd? The sin of the shepherd is he's raising behemos dakos. He comes to Dafyomi. Good things happen when you come to Dafyomi. And what happens? He decides, I saw the Mishnah in Testament days, I want to do tshuva. So what happens? Well, so this is amazing. So let's say the guy is a shepherd and he has a whole flock of behemos dakos. So what do we do with him? So the Braisa says, we do not require him to sell off his entire flock at once. Ella mocher al yad al yad. Rather, I will say what we do is we allow him to sell off his flock a little bit at a time. I will say, what's the logic of this? The logic of this is like what we learned before, like the takanas hashavim, that ultimately, if you require him to sell off the flock all at once, almost definitely he's going to go ahead and suffer a financial loss. Because if it becomes like a fire sale, he's not going to get market. But if you allow him to sell it off slowly, he'll be able to go ahead and make back his money. The Yisod Rabosai is that we have an interest. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Baruch haba. We have an interest as a people of facilitating tshuva. That is our goal, is to become tshuva enablers. Therefore, again, we say, if the path to tshuva needs to be a little bit slower, but it will allow you to get to the final destination, then absolutely, again, we're willing to do that. Therefore, again, shepherd, you want to do tshuva? No problem. Sell off the flock slowly. V'chein ger, shenaflu lo klavim v'chazirim b'yirushasa. So tshuva, say, if you have a ger, if you have a convert who inherited dogs or pigs, so remember, again, his Gentile father dies. Rabbi said, the halacha is, by the way, this is actually interesting, that even though we have said that lemaisa, again, that a ger sheniskarka katan shnola dami, that a convert, a person who converts is like a child who has just been reborn, at the end of the day, the laws of Yerusha still apply. Interestingly enough, for a dramatically different reason, Chazal instituted that a ger inherits his biological parents in order not to dissuade people from becoming gerim. In other words, if a person knows that they're not going to inherit their biological father by becoming Jewish, so even if they're ready to take the plunge into Judaism, they may not do so because of these financial considerations. So let's say the ger inherits his father, and he inherits dogs and pigs, which the Mishnah paskins that you are not permitted to own in Eretz Yisrael. So what happens? Same idea. So we don't force him to sell off everything at once. Rather, we allow him to sell it off slowly. So if somebody pledged to make aliyah, to purchase a home, or someone pledged to get married to a woman in Eretz Yisrael, in mechayven also likach miyad, achiyimtsa es haogenes lo. So we'll say, even though, again, a person made this neder, we don't force him to go ahead and purchase the first home he finds in Eretz Yisrael, nor do we force him to go ahead and marry the first woman he finds. Why? Because lemaisa, again, we understand that the nature of the neder was such that although he pledged to do so, and he pledged to do so with an urgency, we want him to do it, we want him to marry the right person, and we want him to purchase the right home for him. This is an interesting maisa. There was once a maisa of a woman whose son was making her life miserable. Her child was really dead. This was a single mother, so her child was making her life exceptionally difficult. She swore, "Komi sheyava eni machzirasa." So she made whatever she swore. She said, "Any man who proposes to me, I will accept his proposal." In other words, She was so desperate. This child must have been older. She was so desperate to get married and get out of the house. That's what? That she said, whoever proposes to me, I will not rebuff his offer. And ultimately, there were men who were not appropriate for her who jumped at the opportunity. So Paul says, here's the shadow. So she made this neder. She made this neder saying, whoever proposes to me, I will not turn them away. Meanwhile, all of these unworthy guys step forward. What should she do? So she went to the Acham. She said, "Amrulo niskavnezu el lahagun la." So it's understood that when she made that neder, so she meant that if an appropriate match comes along. In other words, yes, she said essentially what she really meant to say. We understand in her words is that when the appropriate person comes along, I will not rebuff his effort. So when the appropriate person proposes, I will go and accept their proposal. K'shem shamro in megalim be'madaka kachamro in megalim chayidaka. But as soon as the Brisa goes on the same way, we said Mishnah said that you cannot raise a behema daka. You also can't raise a chaya daka. We'll say, what's an example of a chaya daka? Rashi says, tzviim vishualim, deer and foxes. Right? So you can't raise deer. Remember, chaya is any non-domesticated animal. So you can't raise deer and foxes. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Amar, we'll say, first wide line on the bottom, Pehem and Aleph. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, galim klavim kufrim vichatulim. What's this interesting? Rabbi Shmuel says, you can raise klavim kufrim. We'll say, literally, if you look at Rashi, he gives two actually different interpretations. Klavim kufrim, kitanim v'nanosim heim. So literally, midget dogs. So I don't know what breed of dog this. Ananas is a midget. So he says, klavim kufrim, small dogs. Loshon acher, klavim gidolim shetzer. So the other possibility is, it means hunting dogs. But what's the chilik between hunting, or what's the chamar between hunting dogs and midget dogs? Rashi says over here, ve'ein mazikin, they're not harmful. So apparently, they don't really bark, and they don't bite. So again, remember, Chazal were very much against barking and biting dogs. Unless, of course, you go ahead. Something you have to tell this to your son. You're texting it, thank you. He's probably walking the dog. Unless, of course, you go ahead and you have it on the leash. But again, these type of dogs ultimately are permitted. Similarly, again, chatulim, cats. Chuldos sinoim. We'll say chuldos. Chulda is a weasel. Snoim sne is a bush. So a bush weasel. Again, we'll define a little bit more what this animal is. So we'll say why. These animals are good to have around. Why? Because they clean up the house. And we'll say, what does it mean cleaning up the house? So Rashi says over here, minach barim, mice. Now that's specifically referring ultimately to cats and to the bush weasels. So they're good to have around because they clean up the mice. My chuldos now, we'll say, what is this bush weasel? Amrav Yehuda, shartza chartza, some type of sheret, some type of creepy crawling thing that digs. The ikada amri charza. Others say it's an animal that stings. The katine sakya, veraya beni vardini. It has short legs and it grazes around the bushes. Umay shartza. We'll say, so why is it called the sheret? The misasoi shakya. Because ultimately, again, its legs are short. Amrav Yehuda, amrav. Asinu atzmeinu bebavel keretz Yisrael lebehem adaka. Supposed to say this is amazing. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav. In Bavel, we conduct ourselves like Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to behem adaka, we'll say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. The Bavel keretz Yisrael. Shem yom galos yechanya rabu sham tamidim. V'nesiyashu sham biyishov kavua. We'll say, this is actually a very dramatic statement. So Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rav. Bavel has become a permanent Jewish community. Permanent Jewish community. We'll say, what does that mean? So because it's a permanent Jewish community, therefore what? We adopt practices that facilitate long-term habitation. What's one of the practices that facilitate long-term habitation? The ban on having behema daka in residential areas. This is amazing. So therefore, the same way that we don't have it in Eretz Yisrael, in order to facilitate long-term habitation, bavels like Eretz Yisrael, we want to facilitate long-term habitation as well. Amri Rav Adbar Ava, Lurav Huna, Didach Mai, so we'll say, Rav Adbar Ava said to Rav Huna, but Rav Huna, you have a behema daka in your possession, right? So what? So how do you justify having a behema daka? Amarle didan kamintra luhu chova. So Rav Huna said, don't worry about it. My wife Chova goes ahead and watches over our behema daka. Amarle chova tikbarinu libna. So we'll say, this machlok is exactly how to read these lines. So Rav Adbar Ava seemed to say You could either read it as a declarative, Chova should bury her children, in other words, that she's in violation, you're both in violation, ultimately of the Takanas Chazal of not maintaining a Behemoth Daka, or it's an interrogative. Amar Chova Tikbirinu Libna, the Marsha brings on these two different yourselves. Or does Chova want to bury her children? In other words, what Rav Bar Ava was saying was, why do you want your wife occupied with watching a small animal when she has so many other life responsibilities to tend to? Should the animal get more attention than her children? So does Chova, I mean, the expression then would be, does Chova want to bury her children? Does Chova want to go ahead and chas v'shalom be derelict in her maternal responsibilities because she has to watch over the behemoth daka? I will say, either way, we have this concept that the words of tzaddikim carry incredible weight. And therefore, again, these words came to actualization all the years that Rav Ada Bar Ava was alive. So Rav Huna never had sons that lived ultimately with Chova. Ike de Amri, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Asina Atzinu Kibavol Keretz Yisrael Behema Daka, Mechi Asa Rav Lebavol. Another version has it that Rav Huna said to Rav, or Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, we have made Bavel like Eretz Yisrael in terms of Behema Daka. Therefore, there's a ban on Behema Daka, and this ban came into place when Rav first came to Bavel. Rav Ushmo of Rav Asi Iklal Lebe Shavua HaBen. Rav Huna says another, it's amazing Gemaras. Amazing Gemaras. So we'll say Rav Shmuel and Rav Asi went to a Shavua HaBen. Now, what's a Shavua HaBen? So Rashi points out over here, Bris Mila. Right? They went to a Bris. Others say, Va'amri le ben Yeshua HaBen, lebe Yeshua HaBen. Others say they went to a Yeshua HaBen. What's Yeshua HaBen? A Pigyon HaBen. So either way, these three great Rabbanim, Rav Shmuel and Rav Asi, all went to the Bris, to the Pigyon HaBen. What happened? Rav lo ayel kamei de Shmuel. Rav would not go into the house before Shmuel. Shmuel lo ayel kamei de Rav Asi. Shmuel wouldn't go in front of Rav Asi. And Rav Asi lo ayel kamei de Rav. And Rav Asi wouldn't go in front of Rav. So both said, the Shaila now is who was going into the house first. So just so you know, like, in terms of like their Rebbe card rankings over here. So remember again, Rav ultimately again, Rav was the highest ranking sage. Under him was his Talmud Rav Asi, and under him was Shmuel. So no one wants to go into the house first. So the Gemara says, Rav Asi lo al kamei de Rav, man, so, I'm sorry, Shmuel al kamei de Rav Asi. Rav Asi lo al kamei de Rav. Omri. So we'll say this. So the three of them said, now we'll discuss ultimately again why it is that Rav and Rav Asi, who are greater than Shmuel, are being deferential to Shmuel. We'll discuss that in just a moment. So they said, Amri man nisrach. So we'll say, so the only way to go ahead, so now, we're not going to agree on the order entering into the house. So the only way to around this situation is, man nisrach. Rashi says, mi yis achar mi bachutz, ve'abachron yichidi. So we'll say, the only way to do this is, one of us should just decide to tarry a little bit longer outside. Okay, so meaning, instead of getting, so because we can't decide who, we're all going to walk in at the same time, who should go in first, what about you just decide to stay outside for a little bit, wait a few moments, and then go in afterwards by yourself. So man yirsach, nisrach Shmuel v'neisi Rav v'ravasi. So we'll say, if Shmuel decided, convenient timing, we just finished the dog conversation. Right? So as I say, so if l'maisa, again, if at the end of the day, Shmuel goes ahead and stays outside, v'neisi Rav v'ravasi, but just finally, just to catch you up, a dog is also. So v'nesei Rav Asi is the bottom line. V'nesei Rav. So we'll say if Shmuel goes ahead and lingers outside, if that's what happens, if he lingers outside and Rav and Rav Asi go in, so the Gemara says v'nisach Rav o Rav Asi. So I don't understand, why does Shmuel have to linger outside? Let Rav or Rav Asi linger outside. So we'll say Rav milsa ba'amuhu da'avilei v'Shmuel mishuma hu maisa delache. So we'll say, what happened? So really, Rav, ultimately, again, used to conduct himself, used to exhibit incredible kavod to Shmuel. And the reason he went ahead and he exhibited kavod to Shmuel is because Rav had a run-in with Shmuel earlier on and felt that he had mistreated Shmuel. After that particular episode, Rav was always makpid to give kavod to Shmuel, even though what? Even though Rav was the greater sage. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Milsa ba'amahu da'av de Shmuel. We'll say milsa da'amah means this is just an external display of kavod. Rashi says Shmuel katan shebekulan haya. Shmuel was the youngest. But you know, in this case, lav dafka biologically, I don't want to use the word smallest because that doesn't sound right. He was the lower, right, least prestigious. Okay, good, good. Lower ranking sage. Good. He was the least of less prestige than his colleagues. So Rav brings down that Rav once cursed Shmuel. So because of them, they had a heated halachic argument. So because of that, Rav always went out of his way to be mechabit Shmuel. So Moshe says, why is the Gemara sharing this story? So listen to this. So Adbere Rav Ale. So Moshe, what happens? So, I'm sorry. Adbere Rav Ale. Adachi v'achi. Also Shunra Kate Liyada Diyanuka. We'll say, as they were standing outside, someone came running over to them that a cat had just bitten off the hand of a child. Nafak Rav Vidarish. Rav went out and he said, Chatul Mutr Lahargo, you are permitted to kill a cat if you see it. Va'asr Lakaimo, and you are prohibited from having a cat. So we'll say, so now we've started with dogs. We knocked them off. First of all, we started with Chazirim. We started with pigs. We started with the Hemadaka. We worked our way down to the Chazir. Then we went to the dogs. Now we're going to the Chatul. You can't have it. You're permitted to kill the cat. You can't maintain it. Ve'in bo mishum gezel. And there, it will say, if you go out and you steal a cat, there is no issue of gezel. There is no issue of that. We'll define what these means in just a moment. Ve'in bo mishum hashev aved lebailu. And Rabbi will say, if somebody loses their cat, there is no din of what? There is no din of hashavas aved, returning lost objects. So we'll say, once you tell me that you're permitted to kill a cat, then what? Then do you actually have to say that it's prohibited to maintain a cat as a pet? Meaning, is that not obvious? So we'll say, I would have thought that what does it mean when it says that you're permitted to kill it? It means that lemaisa, again, there's no isser. Kamash malon, not. So I would have thought that you could be permitted to kill it, and there's no is, but there's no isser to maintain it. Kamash malon, no, you're not even permitted to maintain it. V'cheivan da'amrit ein bo mishum gezel, mai nihu su ein bo mishum hashev aved l'baylim. So Bosai, again, and furthermore, once you tell me that there is no issue of gezel, there's no issue of theft by a cat, then why do I have to be told that there's no obligation of hashavas aved, of returning a lost cat to its owner? To which the Gemara says, Amar Ravina la'oro. Oh, well, so you know where it applies? Let's say, what about the skin of the cat? What about the fur of the cat, the skin of the cat? I might have thought that maybe once the cat is dead, so lemaisa, again, maybe there is a mitzvah of hashavas aveda on the skin of the cat. Kamash mola, no, that even once the cat is dead, there is no mitzvah of hashavas aveda on the body of the cat itself. Meisve, so mostly reisa kashrab, shem ben alazar, omer, megadlin kalavim kufrin, vichatulim, the kofin, the chuldos noim. So we'll say, yeah, we just number four in the brisa. Now, Madalif, what did the brisa say? That you are permitted to graze. We'll say, klavim kufrim literally means village dogs. But we define, according to Rashi, it's one of two things. Either it's called a midget dog or a hunting dog. The common denominator between them is they don't bark and they don't bite. Right? So you're permitted to raise that kind of dog, or cats, or monkeys, or the bush weasels. Why? Because of the weasel and the cat, they clean out the house from mice. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that you are permitted to raise a cat. So what's the pshat? Meaning we're saying now, Rav is saying that you can kill a cat. There's no mitzvah hashavas aved on a cat. You can't own a cat. Yet the Brisa said you can. To which the Gemara says it's not a kasha. Lo kasha ha ba'ochma ha b'chiyura. I will say it depends on what kind of cat. Rashi says uchma. When are you permitted to own a cat? That's with a black cat. I will say uchma doesn't just have to mean black. Uchma can mean any dark colored cat. But let's go with black cat. Chiyura, Rashi says, is a white cat. Muad lahazik adam. We'll say it's actually very interesting that apparently it's the black cat that is more docile and the white cat that is more aggressive. Which is just very interesting, especially considering all the superstitious things that revolve around black cats. Quite interesting. In any event, so you can have a cat, but it's got to be a black one. You have to stay away from the white ones, which are more aggressive. Ay, v'hamay, said the Rav, uchmahava. Rav said the episode that happened with Rav, with the cat that bit off the child's hand, was a situation of a black cat, to which the Gemara says, hasam, uchma bar chiyura hava. Rav said that was a black cat, the son of a white cat. Son of a white cat, all kinds of questions. So right, all right, son of a white cat. Isa says the Gemara Vahami by Ravina. So we'll say, and this was the shy that Ravina had. The by Ravina, we'll say first wide line. The by Ravina, Uchma bar chiyura mahu. What is the status of a black cat the son of a white cat. So the Gemara says, meaning, what's that status? Does that cat have the status of a black cat, in which it can be maintained, or does it have the status of a white cat, in which case it cannot? So the Gemara says, came by the Rabbina, Ba'ochma bar chiyura bar ochma. So we'll say, when does Ravina have his kasha? Ravina has the kasha in the case of a black cat, the son of a white cat, that is the son of a black cat. What do we do? In other words, what is the status of such a cat? However, Ma'as said the Rav, Rabbah said the episode with Rav is what? Ba'ochma bar chiyura bar chiyura haba. That was the black cat, that was the son of a white cat, that was the son of a white cat. Now, Rabbah says, see, two previous generations of white cats that yield the black cat, that black cat has the status of a white cat. And therefore, again, Lamaisa, so that's why Rav Paskin, in that case, that's an aggressive cat, and therefore he permitted it to be killed. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Papa, Mishum Rabbi Abba bar Papa, Mishum Rav Adda bar Papa, Va'amrila Amar Rav Abba bar Papa, Mishum Rabbi Chia bar Papa, Mishum Rabbi Acha bar Papa, Va'amrila Rabbi Abba bar Papa, Mishum Rabbi Acha bar Papa, Mishum Michanina bar Papa. Hadron Allah, so says the Gemara, so Masriyan Alachichuch b'Shabbos. So we'll say, so again, they all said, whoever said it, said this, I will say, Masriyan, now Masriyan literally means, we sound the shofros. We sound the shofros. Rashi says over here, Masriyan, b'tzibor u'b'tchino, we daven as a congregation, a supplicatory prayer as a congregation, u'b'shofros u'b'chatzotzros. And normally this type of communal prayer is accompanied by the trumpet blast. And we'll say, this is the type of tefillah that happens during an esara, during a dangerous time, Alachichoch, b'Shabbos. So we'll say we go ahead and we have public and communal prayer gatherings for chichoch. What's chichoch? We'll say chichoch literally means scratching. Rashi says over here, shchin shemischachecha adam aleh. We'll say if there is a outbreak of boils, an outbreak of boils, which is considered to be a public health hazard. So the ma'isa, we go ahead and we assemble people for a public prayer rally, even on Shabbos. Furthermore, Bedeles hanin eles lo b'meherati vasach. It was a very profound statement which we'll discuss. The door that is closed does not quickly open. Balokeach bayis b'eretz Yisrael, kos v'nalav ono afilu b'shabbos. And if you purchase property in Eretz Yisrael, you can write up ono or bosai is the shtar. You can write the shtar even on Shabbos. So it says the Gemara, we'll say, now we're going to define all of these cases. In Eisei, so we'll raise the kasha. Ushar poronios. So we'll say all of the types of tzaros that come upon the tzibor, like boils, locusts, bees, wasps, gnats, snakes, scorpions, lohayu masriyan elat tzakim. Both say they would not go ahead, they would not do masriyan. Now both say rather elat tzakin. Now both say, now what's the chilu between masriyan and tzakin? Masriyan means betzibor, tzakin means biyachid, individuals. So this price is saying over here that when you have these outbreaks of these things, they would not do public gatherings of prayer on Shabbos. So that's the contradiction. I will say the first price has said that for an outbreak of boils, they would do a public gathering on Shabbos. Second price is for an outbreak of boils, they would not do a public gathering on Shabbos. So which one is it? Lo kashya, kan balach, kan biyavish. I will say it depends on the type of boils. It depends on the type of boils. So if you look at, Rashi says, yeah, no Rashi yet, yeah, sorry. So we'll say, what does this mean? Tam Rabbi Yoshua, Ben Levi, Shchin Shevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzrim, Lachni Bachutzi Yom Shevim. So we'll say, there are two different types of boils. So there's what's called moist boils and dry boils. Apparently the dry boils are much more painful and much more serious. So if there's an outbreak of dry boils, for that you would go ahead and hold a public tefillah gathering even on Shabbos. If there's an outbreak of moist boils, for that you would not go ahead and hold a public gathering on Shabbos. The Gemara just says, the Shechin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on Mitzrayim, was lach mi bachutz, was moist on the outside, and dry on the inside. Shnei Emar, Vahi Shechin Abu Ba'us, Porech Ba'adun Ba'behema. What does this mean? The Delas Hanin Elis Loba Meherati Pasach. It was a very profound statement. A door that is closed cannot be opened quickly. Mayhi, Marzutra Amar Smicha. So what Marzutra said, it referred ultimately again to Smicha. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, V'delas hanin eles al ha'adam yos matzliach. We'll say, when the door to success closes, it's not easy to open it up again quickly. So we'll say, it's an incredible yisod. So what does that mean? So Marzutra said Smicha. Marzutra said that what it means is, that if a person was supposed to get Smicha, and for some reason it didn't happen, the door closed, he's going to have constant difficulty reopening that door. Rav Ashi says, Kol HaMariyam Lo, Rav Ashi said, whoever something bad happens to, Lo B'Mehera Mativen Lo. It's difficult to rebound from those events. And it's going to be difficult ultimately for him to find something good. Rav Acham Idifti Amrali Olam Ein Mativen Lo. Rav Acham Idifti said, Rav said that once something bad happens, so no good will ever come from that situation. So we'll say that's a very dramatic statement to make, and the Gemara immediately counters it. Velohi, that is not correct. Rav Acham Midifti Milsa Dinafshehu Da'amar. We'll say Rav Acham Midifti is recounting his own personal life experiences. Rav said, now what happens to Rav Acham Midifti? Rashi says, over Milsa Dinafshe, Bebavas Rav Ashutfin, De'imnua Lo'osei Bereisha, Velo Estaya Milsa. Rav Acham Idifti was supposed to become the Rosh Yeshiva, and then what happened? Right before his installation, they installed someone else instead of him. And therefore, again, he forever lost that opportunity to become Rosh Yeshiva. So Rav Acham Idifti says the Gemara ultimately is not talking in a general sense, but rather, again, he is going ahead and he is reflecting his own life experiences. Boss, I'll just say something amazing. I'll just say this. The Marasha comments on this, and he says, the idea over here is that I don't have enough time to do this, enough justice. The Marasha understands that this is also talking about the yesod of running away from kavod. Running away from kavod, Rabbi says, has two parts to it. A person is supposed to run away from kavod, but at a certain time also, when a person is presented with major opportunities to make a difference, a person should embrace those opportunities. In other words, there's a time to run away from kavod, and there's a time ultimately that when you realize your community, your yeshiva, your kid, whatever it is, you fill in the blank, needs you, you step up to do what needs to be done. Because after enough time of refusing to step up, and after enough time of refusing to take an active role, what happens? You lose those opportunities. Which I will say is the greater yisod over here. Delas hanin elas. And I will say, we have to be so careful not to let the doors of opportunity close in life. Because what is the Gemara saying? When you let a door close, Rabosai, loba meherati pasach, it's often very difficult. You often can't pry that door back open. Now, there'll be other doors. But sometimes when the door to opportunity closes, it's often virtually impossible to reopen it. Rav Acham Radifti says, literally sometimes it's unequivocally impossible to open it. But it's also an incredible yisod how very often you see that our life experiences create our worldview. Right? Rav Acham Radifti said that Lamaisa, once the door closes, nothing good will ever happen. Why did he say that? Because that happened to him. So amazing is so how the events, our personal events in life, often shape our entire worldview. Well, so let's just finish the Gemara. Falokeach bais beretz Yisrael. Post from Allah. Oh no, afilu b'Shabbos. Well, so if you go ahead and you purchase home in Eretz Yisrael, you could write a shtar for it even on Shabbos. The Gemara says, afilu b'Shabbos adonaitcho. So we'll say, is that true? That you could write a shtar on Shabbos? That's crazy. We'll say, again, living in Eretz Yisrael is very important. But living in Eretz Yisrael does not allow for chilul Shabbos. How can you write the Shtar on Shabbos? Ella, Kida Amar Rava, Hassam, Kida Amar Rava Hassam, Omer the Nachri Va'osa. Ah, Rabosai, what it means is, you can't write the Shtar yourself on Shabbos. Rabosai, if you have an opportunity to purchase a piece of property in Eretz Yisrael, so what can you do? You can ask a guy, you can ask a Gentile to draft the document on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, "Hachanami Omer leNachri vaOsa vaAfagab Damir leNachri Shvosi." And we'll say, even though you're normally not allowed to instruct the Gentile to go ahead and what to do malacha on Shabbos, it's what's called the Shvos. We'll say Shvos is a rabbinic prohibition. Nevertheless, Mishum Yishav Eretz Yisrael lo gazru beRabban. We'll say amazing yisod. Living in Eretz Yisrael is so important that the rabbis suspended their rabbinic prohibition and went ahead and allowed you to actively instruct a Gentile to write up a document of sale to purchase land in Eretz Yisrael. Most an incredible yisod. That's how important living in Eretz Yisrael is. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shlomo Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Halokeach Yer Eretz Yisrael Kofen Oso Likach La Derech Me'Averucho Sel Mishum Eretz Yishiv Eretz Yisrael." Say along these same lines, if you purchase a city in Eretz Yisrael, you purchase a large piece of land, so you are obligated to go ahead and purchase entrance ways on all four directions. In other words, you must ensure that there is entry to your city from all four different directions in order to make your city accessible from all four different directions. Why, Rabbosai? In order to go ahead and facilitate the habitation and ultimately, again, population of Eretz Yisrael. So again, the Gemara is off in such a beautiful way. You see that living in Eretz Yisrael, populating Eretz Yisrael is so important. Number one, we want to safeguard the interests of the residents of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, no behema daka, no barking or biting dogs or pigs or anything. Well, we'll discuss the Chazirim separately. And Lameis, again, so important is the living in Eretz Yisrael that Chazal suspend rabbinic law on Shabbos, allow you to write the document and ultimately force you to go ahead and purchase the entranceway around all the cities. Well, so let me just share with you a short word on the parasha.